Well, hello, Valley Wide podcasters. It's Sylvia, your host for The Spark. I want to set an intention for this session today to really just get you excited about the idea of taking a talent and evolving it into a strength. And I also just want to give you a little bit of a pep talk in case you need to hear it, because believe it or not, creating a strength shouldn't be as daunting as you think. And when you actually get to do that work and create strengths from those talents, you're probably going to really enjoy it. Before we talk about what to consider to foster a talent into a strength, we should address the differences. When you took the Clifton Strengths Assessment, or when you do, you will find that the top results you get back are at minimum a talent for you. A talent is something that is a recurring pattern or behavior that comes really easily to you. In fact, so easily that you might not even consider it something other than just ordinary for you. You might be really surprised too when you start talking with your team and you're not as wowed about your talents, but others are in awe about how naturally you use those themes so well. Everyone has talent, so that instinctive way of behaving. Talents, they help us to understand who we are in describing how they help influence our choices, how they direct our actions, and how they help us filter our world. Talents are at their core like shells. They help to explain why we are better at some things than others. A talent will require just a little bit of push to become a strength. And often, it's knowing when to apply the talent theme, when to put it on the back burner and let another theme take over, or when you simply get to dust that talent theme from the shelf and use it in a way that you've never thought of before, or maybe even use it at all. Think of strengths as developed talents. They require that extra little intention behind them. But when you have that extra intention, things just work so smoothly. Take, for example, someone who is strong in noticing intricate and meaningful differences in people around them. That intricacy has been really helpful for this person in showing people new skills and noticing how they learn best. Or they provide detail that makes sure there's a lot of options and opportunities for people to participate. Or maybe it's always just picking the right birthday gift for someone. I like to think of those patterns as individualization. And when that person uses their individualization as a talent, they may notice details, provide options, and share their findings with others, but it's typically in a very in-the-moment kind of way. If individualization is leaning into strengths territory, maybe that person with individualization might instead notice patterns and unique characteristics in others by serving as a mentor for others on the team. Maybe it means being encouraged to spotlight others and their unique contributions in planning out a new workflow. Or maybe it's even maximizing their presentation and speaking opportunities by gathering and sharing real-life stories that support points. So it connects to that everyone has a unique story and a unique background. Those patterns and how and when you use individualization is the difference between a talent and a strength. So why should you take a look at your talent themes and move them to the next level and use them as strengths? Well, statistically, people who use their strengths are 3 times more likely to report having an excellent quality of life. So it's not just in the workplace, but overall, people that use their strengths are happier and an amazing 6 times more likely to agree that they have the opportunity to do what they do best every day. This is huge when we talk about feeling engaged, feeling connected at work, and feeling like what you do has purpose. This is a big component of work culture. Before you truly can take the leap from talent to strength, there is something that's really unspoken about being able to start to appreciate your strengths. And I think this honors all pieces of them. It means looking at your top 5 results and saying, yes, this sounds like me. Yes, there are things about it that are frustrating. Yes, there are things that I love and appreciate about this strength or this theme. And collectively, that's who I am. let's talk a little bit about my own strengths to give you an example of this. I have come to have a loving relationship with strategic, but I also think sometimes it can be frustrating. Strategic is one of those themes that you can see every possible avenue and path before it happens. And you look at those options and you say, I'm going to pick the best one. And through that, I spend a whole heck of a lot of time thinking about 10 plus different options. Okay, that's dramatic. I think of a lot of options to a potential solution. And guess what? There's usually only one outcome. So I just spent a whole lot of energy, a whole lot of time on a lot of pathways that I could possibly take the situation. So yes, it's frustrating when I think about how much brain power I'm putting into all the possibilities and all the possible outcomes of a situation. But I've come to love and appreciate that because that means I've double, triple, quadruple checked all of the possible paths. And I found from that work that I found the best one for me at that time. And so you're going to have to get to a place with your strengths journey where you start looking at these themes and you say, yes, there are good things, there are bad things about it. And that's part of just understanding who I am, how I show up. And that's going to help me to have that insight. And it's going to help me show up for other people because I did that work and I had that insight. Let's say you're in direct patient care and you're meeting a new patient to Valleywide who is seeking treatment for a chronic condition. And from your strengths profile, after you got your results, your top five are developer, includer, positivity, woo, and belief. So knowing that, you might rely on positivity and woo when you first go into the room to introduce yourself to the patient and take in some history. Those strengths could help you build rapport and trust and ultimately show that you're interested in helping. Then maybe you might shift to using belief and includer as you talk through some of the resources offered at Valleywide and answer some of their questions. And you might rely on developer as you close out your time with the patient to talk about small areas of growth before their next visit. That's starting to use these talent themes as strengths because you're maximizing what each of those things bring to your skill set and using them at the most ideal time for the context of the situation. Of course, we talk about talents being neutral and natural, and often the natural instinct has probably led you to quite some success. However, sometimes that natural instinct can lead you to overuse some of those natural patterns, and you may have a preference to rely on them maybe more than some other strengths that you have. So, going back to that patient care example, if you remember, the top five were developer, includer, positivity, woo, and belief. Let's say instead of trying to pull from multiple themes to help this new patient along, you went into the room and only used the belief strength. Belief is really quite powerful. It's an internal compass. It helps people to honor their values and to stay the course in some really tough times. With a new patient, maybe that talent theme might not know yet about that patient's worldview and how it could be potentially different than your own. And that can make them feel like at times that they knew what you valued and what was important to you, but maybe they felt that they were being a little bit judged for their experiences or felt like they couldn't share those experiences. Of course, this does not mean that someone that has belief is judgmental. It doesn't mean that they don't care. It simply means that your belief, talent, strength, and the values and patterns in that theme showed up and maybe were overused, and that led to that talent theme's blind spot. Every single talent theme has blind spots. So in order to best look out for those and avoid them, it's important to know what they look like. So take, for example, another theme, context. Context looks at the past to help build a better understanding for tomorrow. And through that, when it's relied on too much, it could be seen by others that you're being resistant to new ideas or changes because history in the past has paved a very different path. Does that mean that context people avoid change at all cost? Of course not. It just means that talent themes can look that way if you're not careful. And in that particular theme, that can happen because it's a natural pattern. If some talent themes are totally dusty, they never get used for you, You might not realize it, but passively, this could be showing signs of frustration or disappointment. Maybe you have self-assurance in your top five. You're really feeling like that's not something you see as worthy of being in your top five. Maybe at some point you've received feedback that you were too confident or that you trusted your gut too much. So over time, you started to withdraw from using it to avoid that feedback or to avoid conflict with other people. Instead of looking for opportunities to trust your gut and take risks, you let others do this. And maybe it irritates you when others struggle to stay confident amid turbulence or when they hesitate to take necessary risk. You might also start to lose interest altogether because there isn't the freedom to act unilaterally and independently that self-assurance needs to be successful. So how do you overcome something like that? One, having a strengths language on the team is going to help tremendously because all of you are starting to think from that common core language of everyone's different, everyone has a unique perspective. Also, you're going to have the opportunity to work with your supervisor to start thinking about how you can use your talent themes and use them as strengths. Some people have that I've chatted with on the Strengths Trail doing these trainings have said, I got this result on my top five and I don't know why I got this result. And I sit back for a few seconds and I'm like, let's try and unpack that. And sometimes they'll say something like, I had connectedness. And I work pretty independently, and I don't feel like I get to use that, and I don't feel like that resonates with me. And so typically, my question when someone says something along those lines is it because you don't have the desire to be connected, to widen the circle, per se? Or is it because you haven't been given the opportunity to do that personally or professionally? And I would say more than half the time, the person's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. It's frustrating for them when they don't have the opportunity to use this theme, this shell of a word that didn't really have a label to it before this. But it's deep inside them that they want and yearn to be connected. They aspire to have the undertones and the layers of helping others see connections and purpose. And if you're not actively using that in the day-to-day, maybe you just think, oh, I don't have that. So that's another interesting thing about dusty, unutilized talent themes. Honestly, what's most important though to know whether your talent theme is coming from a place where you're using it too much, you're using it just the right amount, or you're not utilizing it at all, I think it's having some awareness of where that came from and what that means for you in your personal journey with whatever that word brings up for you based on your values and experiences. I want you to feel like no matter what your top five shows, that there is something unique and valuable that you bring to the organization and to your team, to your personal life, to yourself. And those are things that no one else does. And no one does them just as well as you do. I really believe that everyone should get that opportunity to do what they naturally do best. And they should feel empowered to have their unique contributions spotlighted. What makes a successful team isn't having all the talents. It's about using the ones that you do have on the team to make something great. Having a culture of acceptance for different themes and making room for all of them to thrive is what we hope Strengths has the opportunity for you to do. I want you to be able to do what Gallup calls naming, claiming, and aiming. And this is essential to their Strengths framework. So first step, you're going to have to be able to name your themes. And that really just means understanding and identifying what they mean to you. And then that second step is going to be claiming. So claiming is all about being very intentional about knowing your themes and then starting to use those in areas where they provide you the most success. And to finish off the name, claim, and aim, we have to address the aiming. Aiming is the third and final step. And it's very closely related to claiming. However, the difference between the two is starting to use those strengths that you've developed, that you've put intention in, and integrate it with your everyday life. That's when you're going to have lots of strengths moments. That's when you're going to have this deeper understanding and awareness and appreciation for this framework. So to close out this episode, here's the pep talk about taking those talent themes and making them strengths. your contribution is invaluable. I want you to really believe that, because it's true. Your talent themes set you apart because of your natural ability to lean on them. If you aren't at strengths level yet, that's okay. We want to help you fine-tune those areas that you're already naturally good at, those talents, and give you exposure to practicing those talent themes through opportunities in your role, in ways that are creative, that help you to use them, and through just encouraging you that you can totally do this. As much as strengths work is an independent journey, it's also a mindset. And it just starts with the desire of wanting to do your best. All right, there you have it. That's my first pep talk that we've given in the Spark, and I'm probably sure not the last. Stay tuned for more on Clifton Strengths, engagement, and all things development in future episodes of The Spark.